Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us here this evening on March 24th, 2024. And it's just a blessing to be here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And I just have to say this, I'm still laughing, because right before we came on the air, I said, well, let's just do a quick mic check. And I checked my mic, and I looked at Ed, and I said, how's your mic sound? And he was just looking at me with a straight face. It was just, you had to be here, friends. It was so funny because I said, your mic's not working.
Well, actually, you weren't looking at me at first.
That's right.
I didn't hear anything through your headphones. Yeah.
And I had to look at him, and he wasn't saying anything. I almost couldn't start this program because of that. But, you know, it's so good to be here, and it's nice to have a good time. Yeah. You know, we serve a God that's a happy God. Amen. The Bible even says that. And we're grateful for Ray Powers for allowing us to be here on New Visions Radio every week. And it's just a blessing to be able to open God's Word each week. And we do this here. Open the Bible. We try to answer your Bible questions if you have any. We would like to encourage you to email us if you have any questions. How do they email you?
They can contact me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, mark@prophecyhope.com. But tell them a little bit about this tiny little ministry, Ed.
Yeah, so we're just a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia. We have a little church here. We meet on Wednesday evenings for a Bible study / prayer time. Mm-hmm. We meet on Sabbath or Saturday for our church service, which consists of a Bible study at 9:30 and a worship hour at 11. And right now, Rick and Mary are doing a prayer testimony time on Monday, every other Monday.
Every other Monday. Yeah, and if you'd like that schedule, you can email us, and we'll make sure you get that.
And the Bible study on Wednesday night, and the Bible study on Sabbath morning, and the Bibles or the prayer time on Monday are available to anyone via Zoom.
Yeah, that's right. And it's really nice to be able to participate because, believe it or not, people from all over the United States and even from other countries tune in, and they have thoughts, and we share scripture reading. They have comments, questions. They have a lot to add to the Bible study. It's amazing when people come together and the Spirit of Christ is leading us. It's amazing how the things that we learn, mm-hmm. isn't it?
And it's neat to get to know each other,
absolutely,
too.
Have a little fellowship time together. And also on the website, if you go to prophecyhope.com, you'll find some of the radio programs archived. I have actually been able to put up recently some of the ones from last year, so I hope to get caught up here in the next couple of weeks. Okay. Time constraints. I don't know what it is, Ed, but I don't know if it's just, I always heard my parents say, the older you get, the faster time goes. And boy, that seems to be so true.
Right, it is.
There's just not enough hours in the day. In fact, you know, we meet on the biblical Sabbath, as you've mm-hmm. mentioned, and it seemed like the Sabbath hours just go by so fast. You know, that nice time to relax and rest and just kind of rejuvenate, study, spend time with God.
So when you say the Sabbath hours are from sunset Friday to sunset Sabbath or Saturday.
It's a 24-hour period. And that's exactly the way God reconciled time from the beginning in the Bible, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes.
And this is what Jesus did. He kept the biblical Sabbath. Of course, the Jews, we know from our studies that the Jews tried to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath, but he never did that.
No.
He never did that.
Because he did good on the Sabbath, they accused him of breaking the Sabbath.
Right. But he was willing to heal people and minister to them on the Sabbath, as we should.
Yeah.
So it's just a little information about Prophecies of Hope. Is there anything else that we need to go over, Ed, before we begin the study?
Well, upcoming in September, we're going to have a series, an evangelism series.
Yeah.
We do one every year. And this coming year is going to be the week of September the 15th.
Yes. It'll be that's a Sunday. We'll probably begin on a Monday. We'll let you know as we get closer.
Right.
And that'll also be posted on the website as far as the dates.
And that will be live streamed.
Yes, we will live stream that. We've done that. We've had the blessing of being able to do that, since 2016, I think, is when we first live streamed it.
Okay. All right.
Because before we would have to record it.
Right.
And But, you know, it's just, it's a tremendous blessing to us to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. It really is. And we've met some wonderful people. Some people have come here and heard some of these Bible truths that come straight from the pages of the Bible, and they've decided to give their life to Jesus as a result.
Yes.
And that, what a blessing that is. So, yeah, so hopefully you'll be able to tune in for that and participate. You know, before we begin this study, can you have a prayer for us, Ed?
Sure, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to open your word, to give us wisdom and knowledge about what your word says, how it affects our lives today, how it can improve our lives today and give us more peace and joy and affect our relationship with others as well as you. Father, as we study your word today, we just humbly ask for understanding and for guidance by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So, Ed, you know, every week we open this session with a prayer.
Yes.
And we close it with a prayer. And when we come together for worship, we have opening prayer and closing prayer. When we study the Bible, right?
Right.
This is what we do. What's in your, do you have any thoughts on this avenue of prayer, praying?
You know, prayer is important because it's a way to communicate with God and a way to communicate with His Son, Jesus Christ. Mm. You know, sometimes people think of prayer as someone folding their hands, kneeling on their knees, and having this formal discussion or formal interaction with God.
And that is a way to pray.
It is a way, and it's often a corporate way mm-hmm. of doing that. But you can just plain talk to God.
Hmm. Maybe we can talk about that today, what that looks like.
Sure.
You know, I think that's a topic that a lot of people have asked about. How do I pray? Who do I pray to? One of the things before we move along that I have noticed, and I know you've mentioned, is when I listen to people pray sometimes, whether it's in a church setting or a Bible study setting, I have visited churches where there's a lot of confusion in their prayers. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes.
And people might say, what do you mean confusion in the prayer? Well, maybe we can discuss some of those things as we go through
this
study today.
And, So why don't we begin in Luke chapter 11?
Okay.
And maybe we can read verses 1 through 10.
All right. Oh, this my Bible here says the model prayer there above chapter 11.
So, can you read that for
us? Yeah, sure. So this is, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse, you said 1 through 11?
Yeah, 1 through 10.
1 through 10, okay. Yeah. It says, now it came to pass as he, that's Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
So here we have the disciples are with Jesus as he's praying. They see him pray, and they ask him, teach us how to pray.
Mm.
And so what does Jesus do? He says, when you pray, say, our Father who's in heaven.
Yes.
So his Father is God,
right.
Jehovah,
right.
Yahweh, whatever name you want to use.
Yeah.
And he's saying, pray to his Father in heaven. And notice one thing he says. He says, your will be done as it is in heaven, also on this earth.
Mm.
So when we pray, we need to understand that God has a will for our lives.
He does.
And that will is the best thing for our lives. And so he goes on to talk about just some basic, being thankful for the blessings that God gives us, our daily bread.
Right.
And to ask for forgiveness of our sins. And in doing so, we need to realize that we also need to forgive others who have maybe done us wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And to deliver us from evil. Then he uses this example of a friend going to a friend's house at midnight, saying, you know, I've got guests coming. I don't have any food. Can I borrow some bread from you? And, you know, he says, I'm in bed. My kids are in bed with me. Don't bother me. I can't rise to help you. But he says, because he's persistent, that he will arise and give him as many as he needs.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to God anytime, whether midnight, noon, morning, evening, it doesn't matter. God will hear you.
Amen.
Verse 9, and I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you.
Right.
Seek, and you shall find. Knock. It's this man was knocking on his friend's door wanting the bread. He says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives.
That's what it says.
And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened.
Hmm.
You know, who's telling them all these things? It's
Jesus,
the Son of God.
Right.
He knows his Father.
He does.
He knows his Father will listen and will answer. But it's also, remember what he said in his own prayer, according to the will of God.
Right. My will isn't always God's will.
Right. And we'll see some verses in the Bible that talks about
good.
That a little bit.
Good. I'd like to just point out a couple of things about this prayer. Excuse me. And if you notice, like you said at the beginning there in verse 2, he says he prayed to his Father in heaven. Jesus is praying to his Father. So he's saying, this is how you pray. And he wants the will of the Father. He wants God's name to be sanctified or be made holy. He wants God's kingdom to come.
Right.
These are wonderful things to pray for. And you know, I don't know where we're going next in this study, but Matthew has a recording of this account too.
Okay.
And I didn't know if you wanted to take
sure.
a look at that.
Yeah, let's look at that.
Because I think this is really important. This is the one that I'm more familiar with than the one in Luke. And in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
And in Matthew chapter 6, I find this interesting because, you know, so many people, they're familiar with this prayer that we just read that mm-hmm. Jesus said. And here in Matthew chapter 6, I want to start in verse 7. Jesus says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That goes along with what you were just saying.
Right.
The Father's will. He knows what we need. Why, you know, some people would say, well, why would he want you to ask him? Why does he want to hear that if he already knows? You have any thoughts about that? I think about a parent that they might know what their child wants, but they want their child to express to them what they want because then you know the heart of that child even better, and it's an open expression.
But it also leads to increased faith or belief in God working in your life.
On the part of the one asking.
You know, we were... without knowing it, part of God answering someone's prayer.
That's true.
We know someone who has been going through a very, very, very difficult time in all aspects of this person's life. And we decided to assist them financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person...
Without the person knowing.
Without this person knowing. And this person was barely making ends meet, having two jobs. Well, the day that she finds out her second job, she has no hours to work, this is the next month. That very day, she received a card from us and our little bit of help that we're giving her.
Without anyone knowing either way that
this
was going to
happen. We didn't
know
she would have that need.
Right, right.
But God knew ahead of time.
And the person didn't know either.
Yeah.
There was no way to know. And so sometimes, you know, God is working in our lives, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Without us knowing, without anybody else knowing sometimes.
Right.
A testimony for me personally, Rick and his wife Mary, they had heard, this was many years ago, they heard that I had been studying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know who I was, but they were going to a prayer meeting once a week. And somebody in that prayer meeting knew my name because somebody had mentioned this guy, Mark Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And they started writing my name on the whiteboard that they would have for prayer list.
Right.
And they were praying for me and never knew me. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They didn't know who I was. But somehow we ended up meeting each other,
right.
And now we're doing ministry together.
Right.
That's not by chance, Ed.
No.
That's miraculous. That's the hand of God working in lives. It's not by chance. And then when you see here where we just read in the text that you took us to in Luke, ask, seek, knock. God wants us to ask. You know, a lot of people, when they get married, a woman wants the man to ask her to marry him, even
mm-hmm.
though she might know it.
Right.
She wants that. We're made in God's image. He wants us to ask him, and he's willing to pour out the blessings on us.
Well, notice, you know, Jesus says, ask, and it might be given to you.
No, he doesn't say that.
No, he says, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone. Now, let's talk about this everyone.
Yeah.
Does this mean Christians only?
No, I don't think so.
No, because the Bible in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you know, my Father sends rain upon the good and the evil.
Mm-hmm.
He sends the sunshine on the same.
That's right.
God loves everybody. He desires everybody to come to the realization of salvation through his Son.
Yes, he wants all to come to repentance, everyone.
And when anybody seeks something from God, he will hear you. Now, he may answer you in a way you may not want,
right.
But he will answer you.
Yeah, some of the prayers that I have prayed weren't answered the way I necessarily wanted them answered.
Right.
But in retrospect, looking back, I see that God's way was a much better way than what I thought,
right.
How I thought things should work out. And so, you know, we might look around and say, well, he's not answering this prayer. There's a prayer I've been praying for years now, and Ed, you know what that is.
Yeah.
And sometimes I see maybe there's a little progress in that area, and then other times I wonder, is it ever going to happen?
Look at the account of Abraham and Sarah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's
God
great...
promised them that through them he would create a great nation. Abraham was 99.
Right.
Or 100. Sarah was in her 90s.
That's right.
The promise hadn't occurred. So they take it into their own hands.
As I often try to do myself.
And Sarah said, you know, go into my handmaid and have a child through her.
Right.
And he did, and they had a child, but it wasn't the child of promise.
Right.
And so God caused Sarah to have a child at a very old age to fulfill the promise that God had given him.
That's right.
It wasn't within their timeline, but it was within God's timeline.
We have to remember that. And that's the thing. You know, I've said this to you before, the prayer that I have prayed, if it had come to fruition earlier, there might have been more damage done
yeah.
than things having worked so far the way that they have.
Right.
So sometimes on my part, you know, it's one of the fruitages of the Spirit that I really need to work on is patience.
Patience, long-suffering.
And long-suffering. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like, Lord, I've been suffering long. But yeah. So as far as this text here in Matthew, you know, we're talking about ask, seek, knock. And I always think A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. And like you said, it doesn't say, I might help you. He will answer those prayers. He will listen.
Right.
And it'll be done according to his will. Did you have a thought?
No.
I just wanted to point out there in this Matthew chapter 6, it tells us not to use vain repetitions. What that's saying is you don't chant a prayer. Right. You might say the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. And we might even have conversations with one another, and we've used the same words, we've had the same conversation, and it's because it's heavy on our heart that we'll say it again.
Right.
But we don't say the same words every time we talk.
Right.
Right? So we can learn to speak to God and pour our heart out to him. And here it's recorded that he says, Father, our Father in heaven. It's recorded very much the same way it is in Luke. And so when we pray these things, it's not necessary to pray the exact prayer that we see here. He's just giving us a pattern to go
right.
by.
Now, I don't know what people's understanding of prayer are, but prayer doesn't even necessarily have to be vocal.
Well, that's very true.
You can pray to God silently.
In your mind, you can talk to God. And the beautiful thing is, you mentioned right at the beginning how, you know, a lot of people think of prayer as clasping the hands, getting on our knees, and that's certainly a wonderful way to pray.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, getting on your knees is just, to me, comforting, knowing that I can go to someone who's all-powerful, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that has the ability to help me in my time of need.
Yes, and you know, a good time for me to pray, and people, you know, you don't close your eyes, but when I'm driving,
yeah.
If I'm driving on the highway, you know, the radio's off, it's quiet, maybe I'm enjoying beautiful scenery, and I just feel moved to just talk to God.
Right.
You know, if I'm driving down the road and my wife's with me, we're having conversation.
Right.
Well, if I'm by myself, have conversation with God.
Yeah.
Talk to him while you're driving along. He can hear that.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be, our prayers don't have to always be formal.
Right.
It can be just this morning. There was something that happened, and I had been praying about it during the week, and just this morning something happened, and that I could see that that prayer had been answered, and I just said, "Thank you, Father."
Yeah,
just like that. As soon as I found out, and then later I had a prayer to thank him, but just thank you, Father. He hears that.
Yeah,
I don't have to give you a formal thank you. I could say thanks, Ed, for helping me here. So. It's God is real. He hears your prayers. You can converse with him.
Right. You know, let's look at who's telling them, who's teaching them.
Mm.
Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 15.
Okay.
And this is going to be the Modern King James Version. 1 John 5, 9 through 15. And it starts out, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified about his Son, talking about Jesus. He who believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he does not believe the record that God gave of his Son.
Hmm.
Now this record is God speaking at Christ's baptism, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Right.
At the Transfiguration, where God is speaking, and Peter, John, and James hear, this is my Son, hear him.
Right.
This is the record God has given of his Son. Verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us, everlasting life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we ask anything according to his will, God hears us.
Amen.
So Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has knowledge of his Father, and he knows and trusts his Father. He knows that God will hear us, and that if we ask according to God's will, we'll receive whatever we ask.
Yes, that's so true. You know, in John chapter 14, the same John wrote the first John, right, didn't he? So in John chapter 14, in verse 13, I think this is really important because it goes right along with what you just read.
Right.
Jesus says these words. He says, "And whatever you ask in my name," this is John 14, 13, "that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son."
Yeah.
And then it says, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So this is powerful to me. And so it's important that we understand that, you know, when we speak to the Father, we do so in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Because all things, when we read the Bible, we find that all things were made through Christ, and Christ is our mediator.
Right.
We find that in, is that in 1st or 2nd Timothy? I always get that.
It's in 1st Timothy.
1st Timothy. Can we look at that text?
Sure.
1st Timothy, let's see if I can find that really quick. 1st Timothy is at chapter 2 and verse 5. Actually, if I begin in verse 4 or verse 3, it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom, not for some, but for all, to be testified in due time." So we look at these things and we see it. There is a way to pray. And that's what Jesus was showing them. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. But at the same time, it seems that we can speak to Jesus as well.
Yes.
But we have to make it clear who we're speaking to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
This was the confusion you were talking about at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this happens quite often. I'll hear people, they'll start off their prayer, "Father in heaven."
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. They start off and they're talking to the Father. And then they'll make the comment, I've heard this a number of times, "Thank you for coming down and dying for us."
Yeah. God sent his Son.
That's right. It was his Son
that came and died for us.
Right. So when if I'm praying and I'm talking to the Father, and I'm going to thank someone for coming and dying, I'm going to thank the Father for sending his Son.
Yes.
And I'm going to thank the Son, Jesus, for coming and dying for us. So this takes the confusion out.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm addressing you, Ed, I'm talking to you.
Right.
And if somebody's next to you, I'm going to talk to them.
Right.
So it's so important that we understand these things, and because we just talked in the past few weeks about Babylon and confusion.
Right.
This is all part of that, isn't it?
Right, it is.
It's all part of it.
Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29.
Good.
And if you could read verses 11 through 13 of Jeremiah 29.
Okay, Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. It says, beginning in verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart."
So here we see that even in the Old Testament, I shouldn't say even, I should say also in the Old Testament, you know, God is directing people, "Pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. I will hear you.
Right.
I will answer you." And it goes further and says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart."
Mm.
A lot of people say you can't know God.
Oh, I hear that constantly.
But this is God speaking, saying, when you seek me and search with me for all your heart, you'll find me.
That's right. And he wants a relationship with you, with each individual.
Yes.
He wants that relationship. And that face to face was lost in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. And he's given us the restoration through Christ Jesus.
Right. And part of that relationship is talking, communicating.
Yes. Yes, we have to. I mean, could you imagine? You know, even people in the deaf community have a way of talking and expressing themselves.
Sign language.
Yeah. So communication, even among the animals, is important. But he has given us this way of communicating that is so much greater than all of the other creation here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of it. He's given us a gift in prayer. He's given us a gift to be able to ask the Most High in the universe to intervene in my life and change me and help me to be able to be a better person, to live a better life, to get sin out of my life so that I can live for eternity.
You know, some people listening may feel, well, I've prayed before and my prayers weren't answered. Well, are you sure they weren't answered, or they just weren't answered the way you wanted them to? There's
a
difference.
Good question.
Let's go to James chapter 4.
Okay.
And Mark, again, if you could read verses 1 through 3.
Sure. James chapter 4, it says, beginning in verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot contain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God."
See, if we ask for evil things, God is not going to provide those things for us. And sometimes, you know, we don't always know what the answer is to the problem that we're addressing to God.
Right.
And sometimes we just have to have faith that God is hearing our prayers and will answer according to His will and according to His timeline.
Yes.
And that may not necessarily be right away. I mean, if you're anything like me, I want answers right away.
Me too.
And you know, life just isn't like that.
It is not. You know, an example of this would be, you know, you might need a transportation to be able to get to your job. Maybe your car is broke, and you can't. It's unrepairable. So you need to buy a new car, and you say, "I want that red Porsche 911. I really do. Lord, give me that red Porsche."
Yeah.
Well, he might provide you with a 1985 Chevy Chevette that's green. But he'll provide the transportation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know that's an obscure thing, but sometimes I pray for things that I don't necessarily need.
Right.
And it's things that I want. And, you know, we have to remember the prayer that Jesus prayed. I don't know if you're going to head there or not. But I won't go there yet. We'll get there. He's nodding his head at me.
Yeah. Let's go to John 16. You've already taken us to John 14 where Christ says something similar.
Okay.
But you need to realize that John 14, chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 these conversations are occurring after the Last Supper, just before Christ is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane.
So something that you pointed out to me about that, Ed, and I think it's good for the people to know, is that those chapters all happened in one day.
One evening.
Yeah, one evening. Yes. All of those chapters of John.
All these things that Jesus is telling his disciples.
That's amazing to me. That's a lot of information.
Yes. So I'm going to read John 16, verses 22 through 24. This is the modern King James Version. "And therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from me." Remember, he's told them at the Last Supper that he's going to be leaving them.
Right.
And that they can't go where he is going. And so he's trying to comfort them. Verse 23, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Mm. But now, before now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Again, this is a promise from the Son of God. Ask his Father, ask God in Christ's name, in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. It says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, we need to understand we have to ask within God's will. We don't always know what God's will is. So when we ask, we have to trust that the answer that God gives us is within his will and for our best interest.
Yes, that's so important. You know, a little further, you might have read this. I might have been distracted. But in verse 26, he says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father loves you because you have loved me." So we have this intercessor that we can,
yes,
that takes our prayers to God, as we read in 1 right. Timothy. So Jesus is telling them right here, ask in my name. Don't be afraid to ask. You haven't done this in the past, but now that he's in the heavens as a high priest, ask in his name and he'll get it to the Father. He'll right. take it there for us.
So let's look at some examples of asking.
Okay.
And seeking in the Bible. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. And Mark, if you could read 17 through 27.
Sure. Mark 9, 17. "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, and they could not cast it out, or that they should cast it out, but they could not.'" Sorry about that. So, in other words, they couldn't cast this demon out, and they were trying to do so. Verse 19, "He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him," that's to Jesus, "and when he saw him," that's when the young man saw Jesus, "immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father," that's Jesus asked his father, "'How long has this been happening to him?' And he says, from childhood. And as often as he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose."
So Jesus says in verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And look at the father of this child. He says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief."
What a great prayer.
Yes.
So if anybody is listening and you have a lack of faith, what's this telling us, Ed?
Help my unbelief.
You can ask. Ask for it.
Yeah.
Give me faith. Help me to believe. Help me to know. And you know, you can ask for something specific. Show me unequivocally that you have answered this prayer.
Yeah.
Right? There's such a thing as that. There was an account in the Bible about putting out a fleece.
Right.
Do you remember that account, Ed?
Yes, it's Gideon.
And can you explain a little bit about what took place
Gideon there? Was alive during the time when Israel was not worshiping the one true God. Mm-hmm. They were overrun, I think, by the Philistines. And Gideon was called to help rescue the nation of Israel from the Philistines. And Gideon wasn't sure of his calling. He wanted to make sure that this was God talking to him, and he wanted to make sure of what God was asking him. So he prayed. He laid out a fleece on the ground, and he asked that the next morning that there would be dew on the ground, but nothing on the fleece.
Yeah, I think at first, wasn't it the...
I don't remember which way it was.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But it was one, and then he still wasn't sure after that prayer was answered. And so he asked it in the opposite direction.
Right.
He asked that the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And God answered both these prayers, so he knew that it was God calling him to do these things. And the rest of the story goes on. There was, I don't know, 26,000 men that arrived that were willing to fight these Philistines. So the Philistines were much greater in number. Mm. And God having these men go through a series of activities to dwindle them down to 300 men.
Wow.
Because God wanted to make sure that everyone knew it was he that was doing the work, that he was the power that would overcome the Philistines.
So this account, just so you can look it up, is found in Judges chapter 6. And I just looked it up real quick. It says, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the floor." And I don't know what translation this is. Oh, it's King James. "And if the dew be on the fleece only and be dry upon all the earth beside, then I shall know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand." And so when he rose up, it was that way. And then he asked for it the other way.
Yeah, he reversed it.
So the point that the reason why I asked Ed to share that with you, friends, is because when you go to God, sometimes you might not know if he's answering your prayer. Is God, is this you doing this? Is this you can put out this fleece, so
yes,
to speak, right?
Yeah.
And you can say, you know, help me to know that this is from you. And that's what Gideon wasn't sure. Wait a minute, maybe this is just a natural phenomenon. Hmm. So I'm praying for something different to happen,
right,
here. And it did. So he knew God answered that prayer.
Right. So let's look at another account of someone seeking help from Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9.
Okay.
And I'm going to read verses 18 through 26. Matthew 9, starting in verse 18. This is the modern King James. "Well, he spoke these things to them," that's Christ, "behold, a certain ruler came and worshipped him, saying, 'My daughter has just now died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live.' And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman who had the flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If only I shall touch his robe, I will be whole.' But turning and seeing her, Jesus said, 'Daughter, be comforted. Your faith has saved you.' And the woman was saved from that hour." Mm. You notice she was seeking,
yes,
Christ. She was seeking help just through touching him.
Right. She had faith that by being there and doing that, that would help her.
Right.
So she had to take action.
Yes.
Now, this wasn't easy, just so people know.
She wasn't just asking, she was seeking.
That's right.
Knocking.
Right. It wasn't just asking for help.
Right.
She was proactive in saying, "Hey,
yeah,
I need to move forward in this." And this isn't something that was easy for her, because she knew and understood that under the law, they were living under the law at that time, the Mosaic law, or the handwritten document, and she wasn't supposed to be there. But she came and touched him, and he healed her.
Right.
So it shows that, you know, so many times we look and we think, well, the law just condemns. Well, Jesus knew how to deal with it. And he knew that woman out of desperation. She was there. She wanted to be healed, and she was healed.
Right.
By her faith. It's just like your faith has made you well.
Yeah.
Right?
Verse 23, "And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said to them, 'Go back, for the little girl is not dead, but sleeps. Mm-hmm. And they laughed him to scorn. So what are they talking about there? What is Jesus talking about?
Well, when you look at this, whenever it talks about, Jesus talks about sleep a lot of times when he's talking about death.
Yes.
But keep in mind that if we're asleep in Jesus, right, if we die in Christ, we get a resurrection to eternal life.
Yes.
So our first death, if I die in this world, is like asleep.
Right.
Until he resurrects me. So that's what he's saying here.
He's comparing eternal death to this temporary death of his life.
That's right, that he would resurrect us from for eternity.
Verse 25, but when the people were put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose, and this report went out into all the land.
Mm.
So here we have two people seeking, two people knocking.
Yeah.
And both received what they were seeking and knocking and asking for.
Yeah, so the theme that I'm getting here is just praying for something and not working in accordance with that prayer is not what we should be doing. You know, I've used the illustration, if I need a job and I'm just going to say, well, I'm praying for a job, but I'm sitting around watching TV all day and eating potato chips on my couch, I can't expect a job, somebody to call me if I haven't applied for a job.
Right.
So if you're proactive in doing things in accordance with God's will, he will answer your prayers accordingly. Right. And in abundantly more than what we put into it so many times. It was miraculous, Ed, how this ministry got started. Mm-hmm. And when we were praying that we could find a place to worship.
Yeah.
We were praying that we could find our own place. And the way God answered that prayer was absolutely miraculous. And we'll talk about that sometime in this program, since we're talking about
prayer. Let's go to the book of Romans. And Mark, if you could go to Romans chapter 12 and read verses 1 through 3.
All right, Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Wow.
You know, it doesn't say God has dealt everyone, every man, a measure of faith. It says he's dealt to everyone the measure of faith.
Oh, see, mine says a measure of faith in the New King James. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Everyone has been given the same measure of faith.
So that's interesting to me. So, you know, Romans also talks about, in Romans 1:20, about this faith. Because it talks about people who may not have had an opportunity to know God or Christ, but they can know him through the creation.
Yeah.
So he gives us opportunities to have that measure of faith, doesn't he?
Yes.
Revealing himself, if I don't have an opportunity for somebody to point me to Christ or didn't have a Bible in my hand or never heard, he shows us in creation.
Yes.
That should give us the measure of faith.
Right.
It should help.
Let's go to John chapter 11 next.
John 11.
You know, we have Jesus, you know, giving us all these promises in the Bible. But he has his own experience with prayer and his own experience of seeing his Father answer his prayer. Can you read verses 39 through 44?
Sure. And so this is when Lazarus had died, right? So this was Jesus' friend Lazarus, and he comes to the tomb where they had laid Lazarus, and here's what it said in verse 39. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, so he's looking upward.
He's praying to his Father.
Yeah, and we talked about clasped hands, bowing and kneeling, right? Here Jesus is looking up, praying to his Father, and he says in verse 41, right at the bottom of the verse, he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. How far did you want me to read?
Through 44.
Okay. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go.
So here Jesus prayed to his Father. Mm-hmm. His Father answered his prayer. Lazarus was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Now people listening may say, well, this all happened back in Bible times.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, folks, we're still living in biblical times.
Yeah. Why do you say that, Ed?
Because Christ has not come yet.
Yeah. We're still waiting for him to come back.
And these are all things that the Bible says will happen.
Yes. So we're still living in biblical times. You know, this account here where Martha, you know, she, where we read it, he's been dead for 4 days. You know, surely he stinks. Just before she knew that Jesus was the one that was going to resurrect.
Yeah.
But she had a future time in mind.
Right.
And so she had faith, but she just didn't realize what was going to take place that day.
Right.
So what a faith builder that must have been.
Yeah.
And Ed, do you think, you know, we've talked about this before, maybe not here, but just between us, you know, when we read these Bible accounts and the things that are taking place, people might look around, like you said, and say, well, that was back in Bible times. Things, miracles don't happen today. Have you ever heard anybody say that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah. I'll give you my personal testimony.
Okay. Please.
I have two children, two sons. My youngest son was born in 1992. When he was born, he came out gray.
Mm.
He wasn't crying. We knew something was wrong. So they give him oxygen right away, and he started to pink up a little bit, but then we knew there was something wrong. And the midwife who did the delivery, her physician backup happened to be in the hospital at that time.
Mm.
And so he came, and they took him to the x-ray department. I followed them. There was a bunch of windows there. I was watching them. I was praying the whole time. And I heard them order a stat chest x-ray. And they discovered he had a diaphragmatic hernia, which is where the diaphragm, that muscle that you use to breathe, that major muscle that separates your abdominal contents and your chest, had a hole in it. And his intestinal contents were in his chest cavity, making the lungs so they haven't matured. And so things were not looking good.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to send him to the University of Michigan, and so I followed him there. When I got there, one of the residents came out after they examined him and said, there's an 80% chance that Austin will die.
Wow.
They had a program there called an ECMO program, which is almost, you can consider it reverse dialysis. Dialysis takes things out of the blood. Mm-hmm. ECMO puts oxygen in the blood.
Okay.
Because the lungs can't intake enough oxygen because they're just not grown because of that problem. So they did surgery before he was a day old.
Mm.
And it turned out that he did not need to go on the ECMO program. He was in the intensive care for 7 weeks.
Wow.
And today, he's married. I have one grandchild and another one on the way.
That's amazing.
But God answered not only my prayers, but many other prayers.
Lots
there
of
are two
people
friends
praying.
That went with me there, and they I remember them praying with me there in the waiting room, waiting to hear what was going on. So God answers prayers today.
Amen.
Miracles happen today. People are raised from the dead today.
Mm-hmm.
I know of one.
Yes, you do.
Maybe we can talk about that next week.
Yeah, if there's a lot more to talk about here in this prayer study. Yeah. You know, Ed, 80% chance that he wouldn't make it.
Right.
The odds were desperately against him from a worldly point of view. Right.
When the X-ray technician came out of that initial exam in the community hospital, he offered no hope.
Mm.
You know, he was offered compassion, but he didn't seem to think there was much hope.
But, it, you know, 7 weeks in intensive care, so you never got to hold your son.
Not for, well, and over time, once he got off, he was on a ventilator, had arterial lines, had venous lines, had central lines. They go through a honeymoon period. The first 24 hours, they do pretty well. But then the effects of the surgery start affecting their body, and they start to swell up and have complications. But he made it through all that without having to go on the ECMO program. But I do remember, after a couple of weeks there, that I was in there with him one day, and they asked me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
There was a baby like 2 or 3 incubators down, where the parents were gathered there, and they were putting a curtain around the incubator.
Wow.
And I knew they were going to take him off his ventilator because he wasn't making it.
Wow.
So this is a real, it was a real event that happened. It was a real chance that he could have died.
Yeah.
Because many children do die.
Yes.
In spite of being on ECMO.
But faith that God could pull him through, you know?
Faith in the will of God in this situation.
Amen.
No matter what would happen.
You know, it's a blessing that you shared that. Thanks for that personal testimony. We're out of time. I hate to end it right there, but we'll pick this up next week, and we'll talk more. We'll look at more experiences, more prayer in the Bible, and how God is willing to work in your life today.
Right.
So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this avenue of prayer. Father, thank you for hearing us, for listening to our prayers, for giving us this gift that we have, that we can come to you, we can talk with you, and that you will work in our lives. Father, please be with each of us until we come together again next week. We're grateful for every gift you give us. Father, we pray these things. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for being here and leading this study. We look forward to picking this up next week. And friends, we'll meet you here next week, hopefully at 7 p.m. Eastern Time USA next Sunday on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.